with us today is Adam Fitz. We're going to have him play a song, and then we'll talk a little bit about what he's been up to and about a show that he has coming up as well. Here is Adam Fitz.
I stumbled through this life, yeah, I ain't always been so great. I wanted it quick, but I had to work and I had to wait. I learned me some patience along the way. I learned that nothing worth having is given away. See, I've been chasing down this dream since 2003. I've been all in and I've been all out and I've been somewhere in between. But I've come now to an age where I hear time knocking at my door. So I can't sit around and just wait anymore. So I say, let's go. Let's go. You know, I've heard some crazy stories and I've worked some odd jobs. I've cried till I've laughed and I've hurt till I've sobbed. I fell in love once and I'm never looking back. So honey, let's pack up the kids and get this train on the track. Come on, baby, let's go. You know, it's sad when our love gets to the end of our days. When we're all out of patience and there's still bills that need to be paid. The kids need a bath and this kitchen's a mess. And I gotta hang up my work shirts and I gotta hang up all your dresses. And even the strongest and kindest, they could bristle at this. We work long, hard days and we tend to run the risk. And you say it's true. I really do have a gift. I was like, oh, honey, that's so sweet. She goes, let me finish. Of making me mad, I'm tired of taking all this. Oh, if you wanna go, baby, if you wanna go, let's go. Let's go. You know, sometimes when we're hurt, we say things we don't mean. I wish I could take it back the way I was talking, honey, it was embarrassing. And the anger that I feel, it should not be aimed at you. But the days don't let up and there's no pause or undo. So now I'm wide awake and I'm counting the time. We're all here and we're healthy, so I'm gonna try to remind. We can make this passion whatever we choose. So let's all push together, honey, and make our dreams come true. So if you want to go, then come with me, baby, and let's go. Let's go.
Adam Fitz here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Tell me the name of that one.
That song's called Let's Go.
Let's Go. And it's a good song to open with. When did you write it?
You know, I just wrote that a couple years ago. I've been, for a long time, I was wanting to make more conversational and more lyrics that had more of a conversational or storytelling sort of thing. Sort of feel, and it took me a lot of time on stage getting comfortable to a point where I felt that I could
take songwriting and turn it into something that felt less performative and more interactive.
It is part of that, the honesty or revelatory part of the songs, that where you're revealing parts of yourself more as part of the story, or is it more simply being, I don't want to say pressured, but being expected to convey a story well? Or maybe it's something else.
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a long canon of amazing storytellers when it comes to songwriting, and trying to envision myself in that canon seems insurmountable in a way, right? And so I don't know if it's a level of comfort or if it was an expectation to express more or to be more transparent or less coded in a delivery. But to me, it was more about the that conversational piece that felt, you know, for years I thought about this, and it took me just until a couple years ago to actually kind of have the bravery or find the comfort to be able to do it. But I think about things like Elvis's Are You Lonesome Tonight, when he kind of turns in, there's like a monologue.
Yeah, but, and that's the song you just did. You went into, it kind of like a monologue. There was a spoken part where you were still melodic, but you were speaking the lyric. That takes. I interrupted you. Yeah. You're talking about Elvis. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, but that's exactly it. You were gonna. I think I don't know what the next word you were gonna say was, but it definitely felt. It's something that, like, this concept that is not a new concept by any means, but I love that there are songs where that conversational piece or that banter piece, you know, it's actually a part of the songwriting, but if you're performing it, it can come across as if it was spontaneous.
Yes. Do you know the song Stuff That Works by Guy Clark?
I don't know that song.
I was trying to think of one that we might both know, but it's easy to sing that lyric, but it's also easy, and I believe he has sung that lyric as he's singing it. There probably are some other pop songs or in addition to Are You Lonesome Tonight, but mm-hmm. I get it. It's that song. It's not a recitation, the whole song. There are those out there too, but where it almost moves into that for a little bit.
For sure, and that's like, you know, so when I'm originally from Chicago, we discussed about that one of the last times on the show, and when I moved to the Pittsburgh region back in 2016, by 2017 I was playing, you know, 40 to 50 shows a year, which culminated in 2019. I played 90 shows in 2019, and majority of those were actually me playing cover songs in places that I was incidental music. People were happening upon me. They were not there for me. I was I might have been an addition or an inconvenience to bartender, you know, to people wanting to have a conversation.
Could you keep it down?
Yeah,
people are trying to order a beer. Could you keep it down?
And, I mean, being paid to be there with the goal of entertaining people and keeping them there for another drink or to order dessert or whatever that looked like. And I didn't feel comfort in that when I was lived in Chicago and through just the repetitive nature of showing up and being and putting myself kind of in an uncomfortable place, which actually it's a little bit more comforting to play other people's songs in that sort of situation because I don't have my stake in it, right? If somebody ignored this song when I played it, I'd feel worse than if somebody ignored Brown Eyed Girl because I'm like, cool, you just don't want to engage with music. It's not about the thing that I created. It's about this other thing. But being in those situations where you're trying to find connection and you're getting comfortable being uncomfortable, whether you're, you know, on a stage, on a festival stage or in a club, or you're in the corner of a bar, you know, next to a dart machine and at some tables they push to the side. But getting comfortable being uncomfortable, I think was a large part in saying, hey, I can experiment and try some of these things. And I purposely will build songs where they're now, I will purposely build songs where there is this squishiness to it, where I can take it different ways. And actually that parlayed into at Millville Music Fest a couple weeks ago. It was the first time playing with the band, playing my original music with the band. And, you know, that band, the bass player and guitar player I got together with one time, and the drummer, we played together for the first time on stage, right? And being comfortable in that discomfort has allowed me to take risks, because I realized that if you do it enough, it means less, right? I look at a Major League Baseball player. If he hits in his career 3 out of every 10, 10 pitches, 10 times at bat, he's in the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. So when you, the more you do something, that you realize that the percentage of failure is far less than the percentage of at least keeping it afloat, if not success.
Well, and those failures are important. If you, first of all, you learn from them, but also you do need something to contrast with if you are going to celebrate artistic success, other kinds of success. It really is important. And I'm thinking, too, that when you come on stage to bring about a song that's more of a story. Let's use extreme examples. A song that is original is a story that might have a spoken part compared to Brown Eyed Girl, which is the perfect cover earworm standard. You really need to have some faith in the audience as part of it, because you do want to impact them and have them impact you as you're playing. And that can be uncomfortable at first. I can see having to develop a comfort to do that, because they don't know you probably. They're getting to know you, and it's got to be much harder to feel confident playing an original song like that.
Undoubtedly, it is, and I kind of have a divide in my head where I've got the times where I'm working and I know I'm there as a piece of a business model, right? It's like, hey, we're gonna pay you a couple $100 to play songs with the hopes of keeping people here and maybe attracting people, right? I'm very transparent about, like, hey, man, I probably won't have people show up to this restaurant gig, you know, I might, but if you're trying to get me to do that, then I'm not your person, right? I try to be transparent in that. And then there's times where I'm like, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to try to bring this show, this, put my original music on display. And honestly, there's a mindset shift that's had to happen for me just throughout my life. I don't even know when it's happened, but I'm in a place now where, playing songs that I wrote at once upon a time felt like, look what I can do. Right. Look at this thing I made. And what I've come to realize is that people will, it's info dumping on somebody in contrast to finding a connection point. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you can find that connection point and feel like you're sharing an experience that somebody can relate to, and they can maybe feel less lonely in some of these things, or just have escapism for a couple seconds to minutes to ideally, a 30 to 45 minute set, right? Something that I've still not gotten to, but my goal is to get to the point where I've got like a tight 30, just like a stand-up comedian, and have some of that storytelling built into that. But I do think the connection you're talking about is crucial. So when I in my goal of trying to create that tight 30 or tight 40, starting out with a narrative of an introduction and saying, hey, this is who I am, this is where I'm from, this is how I got here, these are some themes I'm going to talk about, right, for the next little bit, and creating an introduction to create that connection, to pull people in, because it's when you buy a piece of art, you might like the visibility of it, you might like the aesthetic of it, but a lot of the art world is around the storytelling. Hey, let me tell you about this piece. The artist was born in this place and she, went through these trials and tribulations and through that she decided to explore this topic, and therefore and so the physical item is actually a really a mechanism for discussing a story.
Right. You're talking about the difference between product and experience, I think. It's not quite that simple, but it's important. This is Adam Fitz, who you're hearing, and he is going to be at the Penn Brewery up on Troy Hill on July 15th at 2 o'clock. There's also a show at the Mount Troy Inn a few days later on July 20th. He'll be at Music on the Lawn at Southside Works on August 25th. We'll recap those a little bit later on this morning. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get another song from you. Awesome. What would you like to do next?
This song's called The Waiter, and it's for anyone who's ever been in a service industry job or any procrastinators out there.
Okay, and if you can, listen deeply. Don't talk, if you're driving, keep your eyes and ears on the road, too. But here again, Adam Fitz.
I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, hey mom, we're doing great. Live down by the interstate. Yeah, we stay up real late, but we had chose this fate. The stacked plates and rattle bones, sore feet and student loans, sometimes a double shift. But hey, we were born for this, cause I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Hey, oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, tomorrow we're tired as this, after a closing shift. See, we won't call it a night until we're not seeing right. Ravi is a sick dude, got blazed eyes, make bomb food. This life's not for everyone, but I'm out here having fun. Cause I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, we're all out on the hunt, doing our own stunts. I'm not sure what's coming up. Man, my job is filling cups. The tips fall down from the top. We're waiting for them to drop. Mom, sometimes we're out of luck. Can I borrow 20 bucks? Cause I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter, a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Hey! Oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Yeah! Oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh, I've been a waiter, a waiter, a waiter for so long. Oh.
Adam Fitz here at the Saturday Light Brigade. We linked to your Bandcamp page. There's a lot of music there available. Anything new or particularly at the forefront that you want to call attention to?
So we did, I did release a self-titled record in 2021, which feels like a lifetime ago now, but, you know, still within the cycle of a new release. So there's a self-titled record called Adam Fitz that was actually started when I lived in Chicago at a number of different studios and kind of left to be orphaned. And then I was able to get all those stems and tracks, and I sent them down my longtime collaborator, a man named Eddie Dixon, who lives down in on the Gulf Coast in Mississippi. I sent him all of these disparate things, and he's a magician, and added stuff and subtracted stuff and mixed it down and made it of a piece. And so that was released back in 2021. Still excited about that release. And the song I just played, The Waiter, I'm currently working with Daniel Blake at the Schoolhouse Studios on that song. And so hopefully that one will come out later this year or early next year.
It's a good song. I think, many people clearly are going to be able to relate to that song. I think we all, Ricky, my wife has a restaurant job in her past. I do. You mentioned you do. I think almost almost everybody has that kind of job. So you, what did you do?
Were so
you...
actually, you know, in 2021, I'm sorry, in 2002, I think it was, my mom passed away, and that led to a depression for a while. And then one day, a good friend of mine who had played in my high school band showed up at my house and said, get in the car, and he drove me to IHOP in a suburb of Chicago and talked to his boss and said, this is my friend Adam. He works here now. So,
oh, wow.
So he kind of saved me from a depressive state by going to work at IHOP in a suburb, south suburb of Chicago.
Oh, you lost your mom really young, I would think, if that was the year.
I was about 21 when my mom passed, and that, you know, that was a formative experience that that, you know, we've lived with. And now 21 years later, you know, still rectifying that as I have children and my sister just had a child, and, you know, her and I discussing what how we raise those children with our mother present and while not present, well, you know, present in us. That was a genesis of that was really a turning point in my creativity and writing, from the things that I had kind of done in high school and just post high school to, you know, finding that weight. You know, we talked earlier about connection, and when you're trying to imagine weighty things. And then, there are people like John Prine who was able to write a song like Sam Stone when he was, you know, in his late teens, early 20s. And some people are blessed in that way. You know, there are Kobe Bryants and Michael Jordans in the world, and I'm not one of those. And so I need to work my way through things. That's my process, and that's my path. So for me, it takes going through it and reflecting upon it to be able to find that weight, I suppose.
I have to ask you a quick question that's a total non sequitur. Is IHOP the restaurant that uses jellies and jams and their position on the plate to convey to the cook how eggs are to be cooked? And do you know what I'm talking about?
If it was, that was not okay. Part of the operation where I worked.
I think it was IHOP that somebody can Google this eventually, but I'm pretty sure there was a system, like, if you set up a plate with, like, the jams and jellies at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock, it would convey to the cook whether the eggs were to be scrambled or fried, and there was this whole language of IHOP. I may have the chain wrong. Maybe it was Perkins.
With the International House of Pancakes. So to alleviate any language barriers, we'll just use... We used jellies and jams.
There you go. That's it. That's it. I think it was IHOP, but it may also, who knows.
That's some great systems thinking, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam Fitz is who's talking and singing and playing, and I want to be sure we hear some more. What do you want to do next?
Awesome. I'm going to, you know, play you a song that I wrote for my wife. This song is called We Are Not These Angry Times, and people have pointed out that it kind of encapsulates the times we are in a way, but this was a love song that I wrote for my wife called We Are Not These Angry Times. Here. So here is where I'll stay till the good Lord takes me from here. Red, there's a green in her eye and her hair is a perfect red. Young, it was long ago when all of this begun. So I won't go, I'm in this as deep as I can go. Oh, she's pretty and she's kind, and we are not these angry times. We are not these angry times. Wade said, even underwater, my love will not be swayed. Take,
take. Sometimes we drink too much and we make so many mistakes. To give, let's give. Let's give ourselves some time to forgive. 'Cause I won't go, I'm in this as far as it will go. Oh, she's stubborn and I'm blind. We are not these angry times. We are not these angry times. Oh no, we're not these angry times. Oh no, honey. Hope. Talking about hope. You know, I hope we never run out of this hope. That love, love. Our morning alarm clocks cry out our love. To build, build. We made brown-haired, blue-eyed kids who love to build. So I won't go, I'm in this as far as it will go. Oh, he's crazy and she's shy. And we are not these angry times. We are not these angry times. Oh no, we're not these angry times. Oh, sugar. Oh, yeah.
Great song. Did your wife hear you working on that, or did you present it to her when it was done?
That was actually presented to her when it was completed. In addition to a little photo lyric book that I had made for her. It was for her 40th birthday, and reflectively, I realized I might not have been the best husband for a couple years or so, and so I had mentioned my collaborator Eddie Dixon, and we were at a time where we were sending song titles back and forth. Every month we send each other like two or three song titles as a songwriting challenge and say, hey, see what you can make out of one of these, right? And so one of the months I said, hey, you know, I need a love song title. Send me some titles that could be love songs. And he sent me three titles, and this one just stuck out to me, and it kind of fell out, you know, one of those things where the muse grants you a gift, and so much so that I had to play it for people to say, who did I rob? You know, and I'm fine with robbing people. I'm fine with being influenced in a way that is transparent. I tried not to be, but I'm fine with that. And people were like, I don't know, I think it's yours, man.
So. Yeah, I think probably, whether intentionally or not, there probably is some, it's hard to be totally 100% unadulterated original.
There's a piece of everything that's happened in the past in what's happening now, right?
Yeah, and so it's hard. I'm trying to think of a John Hartford quote, and it's escaping me, but it's essentially what you just said. I'm trying to remember. Were you born and raised in Chicago?
That's right, yeah, in the south side of Chicago.
So making the change to Pittsburgh was a big deal. And your wife was in Chicago as well?
So yeah, so my wife was born and raised in Westmoreland County in Latrobe.
Ah, now then, that's why you're back.
So okay. So we actually moved from Chicago to Greensburg in September of 2016. So it was a whole culture shock. But it was that, you know, when you're from someplace, even if it's the best place in the world, you still feel like a local. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I always had this wanderlust that I never scratched. And so for me, leaving that while I left, you know, 30 plus years of relationships, which the relationships and the access to certain foods are the things that I kind of miss the most. You know, Westmoreland County and Pittsburgh have been a very welcoming place, and opportunities have been afforded to me here that would not have existed in other places. And so
I need to ask what the food is. chicken paprikash and Cicero?
there's a small Polish contingency here. When we first moved here, there was there were two Ethiopian restaurants in East Liberty next door to each other, and subsequently both have closed. So, you know, if we want to get Ethiopian, we're driving to Baltimore or Cleveland, which we don't do. But things like that, you know, especially in Greensburg, you know, the best Thai restaurant in town is the only Thai restaurant in town, you know. But they have two locations, so you can go to one
That's
or the
true.
Other.
That's true. And there's a China buffet right up the street.
That's right. So and don't get me wrong, that like the culture and the food I've found to be great. But, you know, we miss the regular kind, as Seth Godin says, you know, that the kind that we were raised up with. And so So, you know, for me to get a pub-style pizza, square-cut pizza, something like that, you know, that it's just different. And it's not, for me, the regular kind, because that's not what I grew up consuming. So, you know, I miss the comfort of some of those places that are tied to the relationships and the experiences. So those are things I miss, the people, the places, the foods. But honestly, like, you know, Greensburg has been incredibly welcoming, and I've been pleasantly surprised at the arts and culture and the community in Pittsburgh, and blown away with what's happening in Westmoreland County based on my expectations moving here.
Most people have come to recognize Pittsburgh as emerging as a great food city, as well as arts and culture, far beyond what you'd expect from a city our size. And actually, things like the Westmoreland Museum of Art, some of the things happening at the Palace Theater and other institutions out that way, there's a lot. We've done work with the Community Foundation of Westmoreland County, and there's some great stuff happening there. It's all, you know, you don't know till you go, you know, till you expose yourself in
That's
that area.
Right, for sure.
And I'm sure there's parts of Chicago that your relationship with that area, I'm sure, has changed as a result of your leaving it, because you look at it differently and some things perhaps more fondly than you ever realized, or that you never knew you really missed until you were away. My relationship with Pittsburgh is similar to your relationship with Chicago, except I'm still here. but I know when I go away for, you know, more than a week or two, I start to realize, oh yeah, you can't really do that here, or, you know, you're not able to take part in this the way you would expect.
Yeah, no, my perspective has definitely grown, and that, you know, I think in the midlife transitional period as well, and I've been viewing things a little bit differently. But I'm incredibly grateful for the place that I grew up and the time that I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the mid late 90s, where I grew up on the far south side of Chicago, but really permeating through that whole area, there was just like a surgence of do it yourself art and music happening, and you know, being on the young end, being able to see these people who were doing things themselves, and some of them have grown to be nationally known things, and other things were a blip on the radar, but they were formative for me to see people say like, hey, we have a band, why don't we go rent out a VFW hall, right? Like that, not like the mindset that doesn't say, It sucks here because there's no place to play. It sucks here because, you know, to create the thing that you desire.
Look
right?
at it, a growth mindset as opposed to what the deficits
absolutely
are.
It's absolutely a growth mindset. And I think that having that modeled in a way of saying like, you know, seeing peers pop up shows, you know, whether they were like punk shows or indie shows or just jam band show, whatever they were, you know, at where I grew up, you know, in my formative years of playing music, there was, it wasn't separated by genre, because there was, you know, there are too few creatives to splinter, right? So, and it's interesting now seeing people that were in my high school band and other high school bands that we were friends with, like forming their own things as dads, you know, kind of creating their own little bluegrass band that plays in backyards and at local bars and things like that, and seeing the cross-pollination of those things. But yeah, honestly, like watching the DIY scene in Chicago, having access when I was, you know, 16, 17 to go to all ages shows and, you know, places like the Fireside Bowl and the Metro and things like that. Like, there were promoters and venues in the city that that always, there was always an all ages show to go to. And when, for me, seeing that path, you know, like, I make the analogy, you know, living out in Greensburg, there was a place in Jeanette called the Keynote Cafe. And I know there are people that from Pittsburgh that would drive out there because it was a place that high school students, kids of all ages, a safe place to go perform, like to go fail on stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about that failure as a necessary step in the bravery to take risks to grow. And seeing those spaces and a path, you know, like I remember seeing a Piers band get signed to a major label and being like, oh, that's possible here. You know what I mean? Because like if you grow up in an industry or an industry city, you can see the pathways, right? But if you don't, I mean, it's kind of like generational wealth around relationships or the ability to conceptualize an opportunity, right? And for me, a lot of that was the DIY scene, you know, and seeing how you can make something out of nothing with people in community.
I can't believe how fast this hour's gone. We have time for one more song. Can you believe it? let me mention, as you're thinking about that, Adam Fitz is who you're hearing. His next show is at the Penn Brewery on July 15th at 2 o'clock. The Penn Brewery, you know, right up Troy Hill. And then if you go a little bit further on July 20th, further in the calendar and further up the hill, you'll be there on July 20th. Don't have the time. I'm guessing sometime in the early evening probably.
Yeah, that's going to be a belated birthday party for me, and I'll play some songs. And there's a band called Freight Street from Bowling Green, Ohio, coming through to play a show.
Okay, but the next one, July 15th, 2 o'clock at the Penn Brewery. And I want to thank you for coming here. It's always good to talk and to get your perspectives. What do you want to play?
I'm going to play a song called A Song About Being Lucky. Goes like this. Now, if you are with us here today, then you have won the lottery. It's not that we're getting rich, but we're all here witnessing that somehow in life's mystery, to this world you were born, and throughout your history from this world you've yet to be torn. You know there are just so many silly things on this earth that could end it. Talking about a speeding bus, an upset cop, or a global pandemic. So as I mentioned once before, now I'm going to say it here again. Our time is speeding by to some untimely end. So let's raise up our voices like this were our final prayer to God or to Muhammad or just up into thin air. We'll sing it, saying how lucky we are to sing these songs under the stars. They're just little specks of light, got us home through the night. I said, how lucky are we to be young, alive, and free, living this life in all of its glory, in all of its glory, in all of its glory. All right. Now there's nothing but darkness at the edges of this eternal slumber. And the day that you were born, well, buddy, that's your lucky lottery number. So let's take this moment to remember how truly blessed we are as we fly through outer space on this rock around some star, talking about way out in the arms of the Milky Way. We should be amazed that we even get to have a birthday. So to you, my love, every year we're gonna sing and we're gonna celebrate the joy and all the embarrassment life brings. But to be together while we can and live with all our might, we got one chance. So I'm gonna fight and I'm gonna sing, saying how lucky we are to sing these songs under the stars. They're just little specks of light, got us home through the night. I said, how lucky are we to be young, alive, and free, living this life in all of its glory, in all of its glory, all of its glory, yeah. Now there are some of us here
who'd like to hide amongst the crowds. And I know there's one person, just one, who's been dying to scream out loud. So some of us here who hide when it's time to take a picture, and some of us who try to live each day just like Jesus did in the scriptures. Now there's a line that we all follow, and it's leading to an end. It's a line that our great, great, great grandparents traced way back when. And now we're getting older. We can see the lines in the corner of our eyes. The line, it will not stop, no matter how hard you try. Yeah, it's a spinning wheel, and it just keeps moving faster. It's an age-old song, and no one owns the masters. I said no one owns the masters, singing how lucky we are. Sing these songs under the stars. There's just little specks of light. Got us home through the night. I said, how lucky are we to be young, alive, and free, singing these songs in all of its glory, in all of its glory, in all of its glory. All right. Now I'm just here on the radio and I'm trying to speak my truth the way I see it. Honey, we ain't got nothing to lose. So whether you've been blessed or your life's been a disaster, I hope you take the time to chase down whatever it is that you're after. I said, write that book or call that friend. And please forgive all your wrongdoers. You see, because anger and bitterness and vitriol, it's just like drinking poison, and somehow you'll end up twice the loser. So let's open up our hearts and see this life for what it is. We got this voice, so make a choice. This is our only time to be alive here on this planet. So I'm gonna sing at the top of my lungs, saying how lucky we are to sing these songs under the stars. There's just little specks of light, got us home through the night. I said, how lucky are we to be young, alive, and free, living this life in all of its glory, in all of its glory, singing on Saturday Night Brigade with all our glory, in all of its glory.